Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text this morning are the words of the epistle from Galatians chapter 6. My brothers and sisters in Christ, over the last few weeks, we've been reading through the epistle of Galatians. In fact, at this time of the church year, this is what usually happens in our second reading. We take one of the epistles and we read through it a chunk at a time to get the whole book. And now we've reached the end of this epistle, one which was filled with teaching on many important topics, the biggest of all being that central teaching that we are saved, justified by Christ and his work, by grace, apart from works. And this good news of the gospel frees us. We're free from the need to do anything for our salvation, to earn anything, but also, and this is important, free to live as what God declares us to be, his own children, loved and adopted and part of the family. And yet, in these weeks that have come along, because much of the Christian church is sharing this same reading, I've heard lots of conversations about the gospel, concerned conversations. If we tell people that they're free, then they won't be accountable. They'll ignore God's law. They'll live unholy lives only to ask for forgiveness later, as if it doesn't really matter. And those who've read a little bit might even rely on Dietrich Bonhoeffer and talk about cheap grace, not really caring what it cost God. But the apostle demolishes that immature and sinful self-centeredness when he contrasts the work of the flesh, what's been crucified with Christ, with the works of the Spirit, the new life that God creates within us and empowers in us, the joyful life to which God calls us. And that's the essence of Galatians. Such blessings we have seen, so much nourishment from God's word, and so ridiculously hard. It's hard teachings to live up to, for our old sinful nature keeps rising up again and again, urging us to turn away from Jesus, urging us to indulge in various sins and doing whatever we want to do. Or it urges us, on the other hand, to turn away from Christ and do it all by ourselves. To be holy people without God's help, as if such a thing were at all possible. But you know, anything that distracts us from Jesus, whether it's turning away to sin or turning away to our own works, anything that turns us from Jesus is destructive and dangerous and an ever-present trouble to Christians living in the world. And so in this last chapter of Galatians, his final word from St. Paul to these Christians, he encourages them and us, don't grow weary as you live the life that God has called you to do. We see that encouragement most clearly in verse 9 of our epistle, when Paul writes, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Now he's writing about a very real concern for Christians. When we follow after God, when we live our Christian life and try to put it into action, we want results. We want to see what happens, and we want to see it right now. And when we don't always see the results we're expecting or hoping for, we can get discouraged. Well, I'm sure you've experienced this. We make a conscious, often a very hard decision to do the right thing and follow God's will. But sometimes instead of the blessings we were hoping for, we see greater challenges arising. We act kindly or generously toward another person, and they respond coldly or don't even notice what we've done. We build up the courage to share our faith with another person, sometimes again and again, and they don't always believe. We pray, that our prayers aren't always answered in the way that we want them to be, well, they're common experiences. And it's easy to feel disappointed. That's natural. But the hidden temptation here is to despair. Well, if it doesn't turn out the way that I was expecting it to, why should I try at all? If this is all that happens, why bother? If I'm going to sin, why resist? If people aren't going to be grateful, why love? Why not do what I want to do? That at least brings immediate results. Paul shows us the reality of this challenge because he wants us to be prepared and not be led astray. For while we look for the short-term immediate results, Paul directs us to the long game, the big picture. In verses 7 and 8, he says, "The one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." Well, the world may not care what we do. They may oppose us if we seek to do the right thing, to follow after our Lord. Other people may not notice the efforts that we put in, although they often notice more than we admit. But God sees. God remembers. God recognizes the faithful response of his children, because it was God who created the good works for us to walk in. God who forgave us our sins so that we could, in fact, follow in such a way. God sees, God remembers, and God will bring the results in his time. So do not grow weary of doing good. God rejoices when his children walk in the faith. God blesses us when we live by his Spirit, maybe not always in the way that we anticipate, but in ways far greater. For he not only will bless us now, but he blesses us eternally. And so Paul writes in verse 10, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." And you notice how Paul calls out our life in the church in this particular way? He calls out the importance of doing good to our fellow Christians. Now, certainly, the need was great among the Galatians living in a world under persecution, but I suspect there's something much deeper going on here. How easy is it for us to neglect the needs of those who are close to us, for those who are surrounding us right now, when God has placed us in community, in this community, so that we can be a blessing to each other, so that we can be a body, a family, one where needs are met, where people are concerned and care and love. Not so that we're all internally focused and only there, but so that strengthened as one body, we can be a transformative presence of God, both here and in the world outside. When we care for each other, we help each other from growing weary. We strengthen each other, and the body of Christ is built up. Now, there's another important example of this at the beginning of our reading, in verse 1. "Brothers and sisters, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." Since the church is made up of forgiven sinners, it shouldn't surprise anyone that sin continues. Oh, don't like this. We shouldn't like this, but it is reality in each one of our lives until Christ returns. So Paul reminds us that when sin inevitably arises within the body of Christ, within the people that God has brought together, to care for each other, he teaches us how to deal with it, to gently restore the sinner, to help one another to receive forgiveness, and to live together in God's ways. Oh, it might help if we recognize what Paul isn't calling us to do. He's not telling us that when someone is caught in sin, we should gossip about the sin or the sinner. That only drags in additional sin and doesn't help in any way. He doesn't call us to be scandalized, to shun the sinner and alienate them from the church until they fix their ways all by themselves. He doesn't call us to ignore the sin, and he certainly doesn't call us to celebrate it and affirm it or do anything else just to keep the peace at the danger of someone's soul. No, none of these things help. Every one of them involves additional sin and destroys the body. Now, Paul calls us to something far more loving and far more challenging. In gentleness, in humility, and in love. When any of us are caught in sin, work to restore the sinner. And we can do this when we remember that each of us are sinners restored by Christ. So even if the sin that rises up is something to which we are not tempted, or we do not understand, let's have the humility to recognize that we too have our sins that so often tempt us and cause us to fall. We can restore the sinner when we remember that the forgiveness does not come from us, but from Christ our Savior, and that he himself already paid for that sin. He died for it to redeem that person and give them restoration. And he loves you so much that he calls you to be an agent of grace, to restore the fallen. Oh, he does give us a warning. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Be careful that we too rely on the grace and power of God to forgive our trespasses, that we too acknowledge our sinfulness and receive God's grace, even as we already have this morning. But within that grace, hear God's call to restore those who struggle and who stray. And that's really the key to the whole thing. Don't grow weary of the gospel. You know, every week we proclaim the same truth. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took on flesh, bore our sin, and sacrificed himself into death on a cross, and rose from the grave. He's forgiven all your sins, made you God's child, and restored you to God's family. Every week you hear that message through a different facet of the gospel, and every day his mercies are renewed to us as we live in grace and forgiveness. But don't let the repetition of that important saving truth, the only saving truth, dull you to the sweetness of its message. Do we sometimes think we already know it? Are we tempted to take it for granted? Do not grow weary of the gospel, for there is no other gospel. There is no other good news. Don't grow weary of what Jesus has done for you and turn from grace into your own efforts. They never get the job done. Don't grow weary of Christ and look to yourself. You will fail. Don't grow weary of the church, the family that God has given to you. For though it's filled with broken, forgiven sinners, there are people just like you. People just like me. Do not grow weary, but rejoice in the good gifts of God. For Paul is calling us today and every day to faith and to endurance. And his message is simple, but it is the only way, the way of life, the way of freedom. Trust in Jesus, your Savior, and having turned from sin, walk in faith. Walk in the Spirit. Empowered by that Spirit as a fruit of faith, do good to others. Restore the fallen and rejoice that your names are written in heaven, for Jesus has done it all for us. In his name, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. We rise to confess our faith in the Nicene Creed on page 12.